So pray with me as we open up for Communion Sunday today and see what God has to provide for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, for your love, for the individual time that you take out for each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit to be a temple within each of us. And I also appreciate that you have brought together this body of Christ to do wonderful things in this area of Fortuna and Humboldt County. We thank you for your mercies. We ask that you bless this day. Open our eyes and ears that your word may penetrate our hearts and help us become doers of your word. In Jesus' holy and precious name. All right, we have the NAS singers coming up. They're going to put the worship time into us. Elizabeth, thank you for playing for us as we came in. Appreciate that. All right. God is good. So
stand up if you'd like and join us this morning in some songs. Our God.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Then what can stand against?
Amen. Our God is with us. We've all searched for the light of the day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You get lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got chains, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Man, he's a good, good father.
Who I am.
you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love.
You're my defender, you're my refuge in
the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me.
Thank you so much for doing that. It is a beautiful thing to see someone's heart just rejoicing before God, being thankful for what He has provided for us. And the opportunity to come together is a beautiful thing, right? We're in a country where we can do that. So praise God for that. All right, if I could have my communion team come forward, and we'll go ahead and start working through that process. Okay, so they're going to pass out the elements, and I'm going to go ahead and take us through a little process here. One of the things I really enjoy is looking at the kids up front here while we're singing and just enjoying that singing time as well. It's a wonderful thing to watch. That's it. They want to come up and sing. I'm okay with it. Communion uses bread as a symbol for Jesus' body and wine as a symbol for His blood. He instructed His followers to use bread and wine to remember the sacrifice He was going to make when He died for our sins on the cross. In John 6:35, "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty." Jesus called Himself the bread of life, which means that we're nourished by Him. We survive because of Him, and He satisfies us whenever else leaves, where everything else leaves us empty. And that's John 6:48 through 51. There's a connection between our nearness to Jesus, believing in Him, and being fulfilled by Him. God warns us about taking communion without considering what it means and why we're doing it. The intent is not for us to mindlessly perform a ritual, but to intentionally set aside time to remember what Jesus has done and why He did it. Every time we gather around bread and wine in church, in our homes, we remember Jesus is the one who provides all we need. Communion is not an obligation, but a celebration. Communion celebrates the gospel. Jesus was broken for us that we can be fixed by Him. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring to you God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Celebrating communion marks the story of Jesus, how He gave Himself completely to give us a better life. I'm thankful for that. A new start, a fresh relationship with God. It's not about a ritual to receive, but a person to worship. Jesus is less concerned about the method of celebrating communion and more concerned that we celebrate it. Communion is important because it commands to remember. Jesus wants us to remember every time we taste bread and wine, that even when we sit at the tables of our own home, that He is the one who provides all we need. He gives us the physical food that we need to survive and the spiritual nourishment we need to keep taking our next steps with Him. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Heavenly Father, we thank you again for what you did for us to give us a way to be with you in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood that we may have a chance to have that relationship with you and the heavenly host. We thank you for all that you did to provide us a way. It's a tremendous sacrifice. And all you ask for us to do is repent and come to you and have relationship with you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for these elements. Let's go ahead and eat the bread and drink the wine. So let me just open us into that prayer for his covering. And thank you, Jesus, for Brother Ron being willing to come before you to share the message that you've shared with him. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to depend upon our own wisdom or our own experiences, but how those things tie in with what you've done for us and how you prepped the way and made our way available. This is available to all of us. Thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. So anyway, I just want to share my heart. One of the things I want to tell you is that when I was in the eighth grade, we were required to do a show and tell. And one of the things with me back then, speaking in front of people was, I mean, it's just something I didn't want to do. It's something that was hard to do. And I was trying to figure out a way to get out of it. But I knew if I didn't participate, I wasn't going to get a good grade. Probably an F. So anyway, I decided to take an inner tube out of a bike and a patch kit to school, and I got up there in front of the class for about 2 minutes, probably the fastest I ever patched an inner tube in my life, and I got a C minus. And for me, that was as good as an A plus. Yeah, at least I did it. So anyway, my point is, this is not something that is easy for me to do, and it's a miracle that I'm actually up here doing it. Little history about myself. Grew up in a tough environment as a kid, and that kind of spilled over into my lifestyle, into my adulthood. Drugs. My drug of choice was alcohol, and probably for the first 12 years of mine and Deb's marriage, I'd done everything I could to ruin it. And it actually was easy to do. It didn't take any effort. But we were raising two boys, and God really started dealing with my heart about what kind of a life that I was actually showing those kids. And anyway, to make a long story short, we started going to this little Southern Baptist church in Sunny Bray. And the pastor always gave an invitation at the end for what he called a time of commitment. And actually, I think Brian and Karen know Jerry Corbley was the pastor there. So one Sunday I got up. Actually, when we first started going there, there was something there foreign to me. I didn't know what it was, but I found out later it was love. Those people really loved on us. It made all the difference in the world as far as mine and Deb's walk with the Lord, the investment that those people made in our lives. But anyway, I went forward one Sunday, and pastor opened up his Bible, and he showed me Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it's like God put a magnifying glass over those words. He showed me at that moment that he was real. There was a confirmation that he gave me. And I'll never forget that. And I still see him magnified in my life. I see things around me where he magnifies himself. And anyway, that keeps me going. That keeps my faith strong. Anyway, I want to share some of my life with you. Putting this together, I started writing a bunch of notes down. And I figured out, after writing a bunch of notes down, it's what I was wanting to do. It wasn't what God wanted me to do. So anyway, I'm going to start out and share a little bit about my background. I was raised on a small 10-acre farm in Blue Lake, California. It's actually the same property that the Blue Lake Casino is on right now. My parents used to own that property. So we had a little farm there. I always had a knack for fixing things. Haywire repairs was my expertise. When I graduated high school, I joined the Army for 4 years. My military occupational specialty was a wheeled vehicle mechanic, and the military called it a 63 B-20. Randy knows what I'm talking about. And Calvin, thank you guys for your service. Appreciate it. So anyway, I went into the military. My mechanics training readied me for different types of vehicle and equipment repairs. After I ended my time in the service, I used my military experience to find work in the civilian world as a mechanic. One of the companies I work for is Cummins West Incorporated. Matter of fact, Art used to bring his trucks there for repair. I remember that. My job mainly was to repair and overhaul of Cummins engines in all kinds of equipment, including logging equipment, fishing vessels, trawlers, loaders, forklifts, and the list is a long one. Anything that had Cummins engines in it. This may sound like I'm putting a resume together, but I want to let you know that I'm not, and I'm not looking for a job. One of the bright spots while working at Cummins West was when I got to go to Columbus, Indiana, to tour the Cummins engine factory. That was such an awesome experience to see from start to finish how engines are built and readied for use. I was amazed at how much time and effort goes into the planning and building of engines to make sure that they are ready for market. Teams of engineers are engaged for numerous hours drawing out blueprints and calculating to make sure that the specifications and tolerance are all correct. The team's goal is to build a product that will be of highest reliability and durability. They make sure that the highest quality of material is used in every part. Workmanship is one of the team's goals. And workmanship means the highest degree of skill with which the product is made. Since the early 1990s, Cummins engines were built with electronic control modules. Short for that is ECMs. ECMs must be programmed to certain specifications to make sure the engineers match the engineer's expectations. The main function of an ECM is to make sure the engine is functioning at its fullest potential and its maximum performance level without causing internal damage to the engine. When these engines come out of production, they have been tried and tested. They are then made available to the public to purchase for all types of applications. Pickup trucks, heavy equipment, and so on. It's almost always true that some customers are never happy with the horsepower and the torque. A performance chip became available to the public to upgrade horsepower and torque output. These performance chips are not made by the original manufacturers. The makers of these performance chips figured out a way to hack the engine's electronic control module and change the original program setting. The companies that make these modifications give sales pitches that can be very appealing to the potential buyer. The performance chips makers don't tell you the long-term damage done to the engine, and in most cases terminates the manufacturer's warranties. The damage done by changing manufacturer's specification can be very costly in the long run. Remember, the engineers that built these engines have spent hours making sure that all the specifications were right for durability and longevity. After being in the engine repair business for several years, I was able to see the long-term effects caused to the engines by altering the original blueprint. So, anyway, that was my part of my career, being a mechanic, and I really enjoyed doing engine work. I've done it all. I've done, you know, all kinds of work on different kinds of equipment, but working on engines was my favorite thing to do. Really enjoyed that. So anyway, I am reminded of how God has drawn a blueprint for each one of us. A blueprint is a design or a plan. We are unique. Unique means we're original. A list of some things that make us unique is genetics, physical characteristics, personality, fingerprints, and so on. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 said, David says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." You see, God's character goes into the creation of every person. When you feel worthless, remember that God's Spirit is ready and willing to work within you. We should have as much respect for ourselves as our Maker has for us. Long before you were conceived by your parents, you were conceived in the mind of God. He thought of you first. It is not fate, nor chance, nor luck, nor coincidence that you are breathing at this very moment. You are alive because God wanted to create you. Your birth was no mistake or mishap, and your life is no fluke of nature. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. He was not at all surprised by your birth. In fact, he planned it. Is that good news or what? You see, the performance ship that I was talking about represents how the devil is constantly at work trying to reprogram us from God's original plan for our lives. The changes can be subtle and not recognized right away. If more and more reprogramming takes place, unwanted damage is going to happen. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Some translations say abundantly. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kinds of sufferings that you are." You see, Peter warns us to watch out for Satan when we are suffering or being persecuted. Feeling alone, weak, helpless, and so focused on our troubles that we forget to watch for danger. We are especially vulnerable to Satan's attacks. During times of attacks, seek other Christians for support. The Bible is God's blueprint for your life, our life. The Bible is the most important textbook that we can ever study. It is the written word of God. God is the author. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right." The Bible is not a collection of stories, fables, myths, or merely human ideas about God. It is not a human book. Through the Holy Spirit, God revealed his person and plan to believers. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves or because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God."
You see, it was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. It means that the Scripture did not come from the creative work of the prophets' own invention or interpretation. So their message is authentic and reliable. God used the talents and education and cultural background of each writer. They were not mindless robots. And God cooperated with the writers in such a way to ensure that the message he intended was faithfully communicated in the very words they wrote. I got a short story for you. I got a good laugh out of this. Deb and I do a lot of RVing, and sometimes it can be very challenging. And actually, most every time there's challenges. But anyway, Deb and I and another couple had been planning for months a five-week trip back to the South, back to Nashville. And, of course, the ladies wanted to go to Dollywood. And anyway, it was a lot of fun. Pioneer Woman, we got to go do that thing. We left at the end of February and got home the first part of April. Matter of fact, we got to go to the Grand Ole Opry, which was something we always wanted to do. And that was special. We got to see the Oak Ridge Boys and the Gatlin Brothers. So anyway, we left at the end of February and got home the first part of April. At one of our stops for the evening, our fellow traveler began to share with me how he had looked at his compass on his pickup's computer screen, which showed he was going east. In his mind, he was convinced he was going north. He then said he looked at the compass on his phone. It also said he was going east. He still believed he was going north. So he asked his wife to check the compass on her phone. Her compass also said they were going east. He was still in denial. His wife said, "Look, we have checked three compasses and they all say the same thing. We're going east." We got a good laugh out of that. As I gave some thought to that story, I'm reminded at how we at times treat Scripture in the same manner. We get preconceived ideas in our heads that are in opposition to Scripture. When things in our lives begin to unravel, we tend to look for other means of guidance. Psalms 119, 105 says that your lamp is a word. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." To walk safely in the woods at night, we need a light so we don't trip over tree roots or fall into holes. In this life, we walk through a dark force of evil. But the Bible can be our light to show us the way ahead so we won't stumble as we walk. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents." Torrents means a strong and fast-moving stream of water. "And the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on a rock." That's Jesus. "But everyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash." You see, to build a house or to build on a solid rock means to be a hearing, responding disciple. Practicing obedience becomes a solid foundation to weather the storms of life. Like a house of cards, the fool's life crumbles. Part of our responsibility as believers is to help others stop and think about where their lives are headed and to point out the consequences of ignoring Christ's message. I want to give you the definition of the word drifting. Drifting means continually moving from place to place without any fixed home, carried slowly away by a current of water or air. Hebrews 2:1 says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." It's important that we pay attention to the truth that we have heard so we don't drift away into false teachings. Well, there's a lot of that out there. Paying special attention is hard work. Listening to Christ means not merely hearing, but also obeying.
Pretty rough out there, huh? Yeah, I watched the whole video, and six sailors actually died in that ship that broke apart out in the rough seas. As I watch this video, I'm reminded how rough the seas of life can be. Shipbuilders start out with blueprints. Their intention is to build ships that will withstand the roughest conditions. As I seen in the video, the 46-year-old ship couldn't withstand the constant pounding of the ocean anymore. It broke apart. The rough seas of life can break us apart and cause severe damage to us as well. I also think of ships that have lost their power source, continually moving with no way to steer it, being tossed and turned in every direction with no guidance. The waves are constantly pounding on it. It gets further and further away from shore as the currents carry it away. There is a lighthouse that can be seen in the distance, but the further out the ship goes out to sea, the dimmer the light becomes. I remember as a child, our aunt and uncle's cousins would on occasions spend Saturday at Moonstone Beach. The surf there was very shallow. We would play in the surf and with our inner tubes and skimboards, me and my cousin Ron Wilcox. I'm Ron. They call me Ron D for Ron Dawkins. They call him Ron Wee for Ron Wilcox. And I think we were only 8 hours apart. So we're actually pretty close. We're like brothers. So anyway, we were on an inner tube together, not knowing that the current was actually carrying us out to sea. And when we realized that the water under us had become too deep to walk back to shore, we had no idea what we were going to do. Nobody was aware of our situation. I'm not sure how long we were on this voyage, but it seemed like forever. Finally, a guy on a surfboard came out of nowhere and pulled us safely back to shore. You see, the lighthouse is Jesus. The rough sea is life. The ship is you and me. Drifting is losing sight of the peaceful shore. Revelations 2, 3 through 4 says, Jesus gives this warning, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. You see, the question is, do you know, or do you now have knowledge without enthusiasm? That really struck a note with me. Both are necessary if we're going to keep our love for God intense and untarnished. Do you love God with the same fervor as when you were a new Christian? When I was a new Christian, my goal was to go out and save the world. And I found out that the more that I got into people's space, when they would see me, they would go the other way. They didn't want to hear what I had to say anymore. And I realized over years, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and I realized the greatest message we can tell people is by the way we live our lives. You know, our actions and our motives and those things. Do you love God with the same fervor as when you were a new Christian? That is a question right there that only you can answer. Many things come or can be a burden to us and cause us to lose sight of the shore. Financial difficulties. We heard that this morning. Troubles at work. Painful family situations. Our health issues. And a lot more. Only you personally can answer
what it could be that could cause you to drift away from your first love. Often we can feel worn out, not just outwardly tired, but inwardly tired, inwardly exhausted from struggling to bear burdens. Matthew 11:28-30 says, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly." In heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the rest that we find is by taking the Lord's yoke and learning from him. It is an inward rest that only he can give. So I got another video for you guys to watch in closing. And that's all I have. I just want you guys to know that Deb and I love you. And we appreciate you. Especially appreciate the people that are stepping up right now and helping. Really appreciate it. God bless you.
Out on the perilous deep, where danger silently creeps, and storms so violently sweep, you're drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far.
You're
Thank you, Brother Ron, for sharing that story. And we are like a ship out in the ocean, but we are never meant to do it alone. We need each other. And just like with this gentleman singing the lead here, he's in a wheelchair. It didn't stop him from singing, right? So no matter what your circumstances are, don't do life alone. Do life with people. And we're here to lift each other up. We're here to pray for each other. We're here to love on each other through hard times, through good times, all that type of thing. Don't drift too far from shore. Debbie, my short-term memory kicked in. What was the item you wanted me to mention? I'll do the prayer as well, but there was something else. Oh, yes. So Debbie's looking for some folks to help her out to get the food out and then also to do some cleanup afterwards. So thank you for everybody who's doing that. Thank you for the donation again from the Wells family. So, all right, with that, let me pray for our food for lunch, and then we'll go ahead and start doing the service in there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message that you laid on Ron's heart. Father, every one of us has that ability to have that relationship with you and hear the word that you have to say. And we want to say your word, Father. So with that, we also come to you as we celebrate together the retirements that are going on. Also celebrating, continue to celebrate Mike Wells' life. That let us fellowship together, bless the food that we're ready to partake in. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.